Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Patrick Schreiner to the podcast. Dr. Schreiner serves as assistant professor of New Testament language and literature at Western Seminary. He's also an elder at Christ Church Selwood in Portland, Oregon. Dr. Schreiner, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thanks, Dr. Allen. It's great to be here.
Now, I'll confess, even introducing you in this podcast, as one who had your father in class, when I say Dr. Schreiner, like the voice coming back at me ought to be your dad's voice.
That's right. Actually, when I hear Dr. Schreiner, I still think of my dad, too. So you're not the only one. At Western, we actually don't usually go by doctor here. So most of my students call me Patrick, and that's what they refer to me as. So when I hear Dr. Schreiner, I think, where's my dad as well?
Yeah, well, to this day, I'm now in my early 40s. To this day, when I'm, you know, at the auto shop store or waiting in line somewhere at a restaurant and someone pipes up, Mr. Allen, I always look around for my father. But
right.
I guess that's the way it is. Well, listen, man, delighted to have you on the podcast today. Have enjoyed getting to know you a little bit here in recent weeks, bumping into ETS and catching up there. And just have appreciated your ministry from a distance. And you have a book out that came out not that long ago entitled Matthew, Disciple and Scribe, The First Gospel and Its Portrait of Jesus. So today we're going to be talking about preaching the gospel of Matthew. And we'll make reference to this book, but just more broadly on preaching the gospel of Matthew. Our listeners to the podcast tend to be seminary students, pastors, local church ministers. In other words, those who are in the text and teaching the scriptures. And so we have started a series, kind of as a sub-series on preaching and preachers, where we have a guest on to talk about preaching a specific book of the Bible and what to keep in mind when one preaches that book of the Bible. So thrilled to have you on the podcast today to talk about the book and about the gospel of Matthew more broadly. So, hey, before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on in your life and ministry these days.
Right. So I came to Western Seminary in 2014 and started teaching right as I was finishing up my dissertation. I did my dissertation on Matthew, and we just got plugged in here to Portland, Oregon. We're a part of a church now where I'm an elder there and preach on occasion, and then I go around and preach kind of in the area now. So really my ministry is focused on in the church and in the seminary here, where I get to teach New Testament and Greek and hermeneutics and biblical theology to a lot of students who are already in ministry and they just want further training. So it's just really fun being out here, and we've loved it so far.
And so tell us a word of update on your family as well.
Yeah, so I've been married to Hannah for 11 years, and we met in college, actually through Campus Crusade for Christ. I was involved in leadership there. It was a huge impact upon my ministry and sharing my faith, and she got involved as well. And then now we have four children, ranging from 9 to 2. We have 3 girls and 1 boy, and so we're kind of stepping into a new stage of sports and fun things like that with them.
Oh, that's great. God's grace is in that, and we're happy for you. All right, so we're talking about the Gospel of Matthew and your book, Matthew, Disciple and Scribe, The First Gospel and Its Portrait of Jesus. I guess one other kind of front porch question before we get into the gospel, just the book itself. What prompted the book? Tell us how it came into being.
Yeah, so I've always really loved the Gospel of Matthew. Kind of my love for the gospel stemmed from my seminary days. I think initially I grew up in a Christian family, and you kind of assume all the gospels look the same, sound the same. Besides John, they're kind of the same thing, so the synoptics are the same. But I took a class on Matthew, and I just fell in love with the book through Jonathan Pennington, who taught it. And so my interest has been there really from the early days of seminary. And he just showed us a lot about how to read the Gospel of Matthew kind of through an Old Testament lens, how Jesus is completing, fulfilling the Old Testament. And there are some good books on that, but I actually hadn't noticed a ton. And so I thought it would be a benefit to actually write a book looking at Matthew kind of through that lens of biblical theology. How does Matthew use the Old Testament? How does Jesus fulfill that story? And so what I'm trying to look at is what I call the shadow stories that are happening in the Gospel of Matthew. So it's not a full commentary in Matthew. It's not touching every text, but rather it's a look at Matthew kind of through the lens of the Old Testament, saying, why does Jesus's actions and words matter in light of the Old Testament? How is he completing this story?
And your dissertation, did the subject matter of your dissertation overlap with a book, or is this something new?
No, it's something new. I did the kingdom in Matthew, kingdom of heaven in Matthew, and I looked at it from kind of a place or spatial lens. So this is a completely different project. Only thing that's similar in some ways is that it's on Matthew.
All right. So let's talk about the Gospel of Matthew then. First, just make the case for the Gospel of Matthew. Why if a pastor is going to preach through one gospel and give a year preaching through one gospel, why would you encourage Matthew as opposed to Mark or Luke or John even?
Right, right. I've actually seen on Twitter some polls about what's your favorite gospel. And usually John wins, but Matthew's a close second typically. I'd love to make the case for Matthew, not that these have to be in tension. But actually the early church, if you read through their literature, they quote from Matthew the most. So in terms of following the early church, it seemed to be a key text. And I think there's maybe back up a little bit. The reason you should preach the Gospels is because in some sense, this is the center of our faith. This is where we learn about the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. And so the Gospels have a culminating aspect to really the storyline of the scripture. Everything in the Old Testament is leading up to Jesus. Everything after the Gospels are looking back on Jesus's life, death, his work on the cross. And so I would just say it's important to preach the Gospels because that's actually where we learn what the gospel is. These are called, these weren't original to them, but very early on, they're called the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And so I would just say all of the gospels are very important to preach. In terms of Matthew specifically, not only do we have the early church who used this as a text in their own worship services a lot, but I think they used it as a text partially because there is this strong theme of discipleship in there. And so they use this text, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And so I picked up on that in my book and talked through what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus in light of his ministry. The final thing I'd say about why I preach it is because one of the biggest questions we have these days is how do you connect the Old and the New Testament? And Matthew is a very Jewish written gospel who is trying to connect these two streams. And so I think it's just really important for congregations to know the Old Testament is really important and it leads to Jesus and Jesus really completes that story.
So is it safe to say the Gospel of Matthew is your favorite gospel?
Yes, it is safe to say that it's my favorite gospel. Although I will say that every book that I find that I study in more depth ends up being my favorite. And so I feel like currently in where I'm at in terms of my own study, it's my favorite because I've spent the most time with it. But admittedly, once I end up writing on John or Mark, it could change.
Well, yeah, and I hate it when I'm asked, like, what's your favorite Bible verse? It's always, you know, like the one I read this morning. Or what's your favorite, you know, what's the best book you've ever read in your life? Well, it's so hard to narrow it down to a book, but usually I just spit out the most recently, most recent book I completed reading. So
that's right.
As far as the Gospel of Matthew being so preferred by you, to use that phrase, any additional reason why, beyond the original reasons you mentioned as far as why you would preach through it or why you would encourage pastors to preach through it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some key things in the Gospel of Matthew that are unique to Matthew, and one of them being the Sermon on the Mount, a very famous text that a lot of people have thought a lot about, and there's some confusion about the Sermon on the Mount because there's a lot of different views of it. But having said that, it's a beautiful text. It's a beautiful sermon from Jesus on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to follow him in both his teaching and his actions. And so I would say there's just some key things in the gospel. I also really love Matthew 1 and 2 that's unique to Matthew in terms of who is Jesus with this genealogy and then where is he from. You don't get those type of texts. You get another genealogy in Luke, but it's different. And so you don't get those type of texts. And it's fun to look at what Matthew's trying to do with that beginning portrait. So there's a lot of different reasons to preach through Matthew. The other thing I'd say is that it's a very structured book. And so that's something to be aware of as you're stepping into it. He's very, it seems that the author Matthew is very intentional with where he placed each piece of the portrait of Jesus.
So let's say for the pastors listening to this conversation and those who are gearing up to preach the gospel of Matthew, maybe they're here, you know, the beginning of the new year, thinking about a series they would launch this spring or this summer or this fall, and they're thinking about Matthew and wrestling with what that would look like. What would you encourage them to be mindful of as far as perhaps big picture aspects or challenges even associated with preaching through the gospel of Matthew?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd go back to number one, looking at the structure. Notice that he begins with narrative and then he has five discourses. So notice the structural kind of overview of all of Matthew. You could actually do Matthew in really large chunks if you wanted to. You can go more slowly. But you could try to do the discourses in one sermon. So Sermon on the Mount, the mission discourse, the parables. So that's Matthew 5 through 7, 10, 13. You could try doing something like that. The other thing to be aware of with Matthew.
I love how you put that, by the way. You could try doing something like that.
I've never tried to do that.
Not advisable.
I think most people spend about a few years on the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
But that's one of the challenges with Matthew is you get stuck in places because it's so beautiful and it's so rich. One of the things I like to encourage people to do with narratives is try to do larger chunks if possible, just so you can show people kind of the flow of the narrative. That's difficult to do. And that's kind of hailing from my days when I did the internship with Mark Dever, and he tries to preach larger texts just so people can get the sense of what's happening in these kind of the flow of the narrative. I mean, he has a whole book on where he preached one sermon on every book of the Bible.
Right.
That seems an impossible task to me, but he did it. That resource is really helpful though.
Right.
Just overviewing things.
Yeah. And he has the companion volumes of Old and New Testament, you know, just to, not to get bogged down here, but to briefly pull over and digress. You know, my first pastorate, I was stepping into a church to where expository preaching hadn't really been done for a length of time. I mean, my predecessor had kind of begun to point the church in that direction. I want to preach the books in the Bible and passages of Scripture. I'm looking at the Gospel of Matthew. I don't think they're up for 28 chapters. I don't think I'm up for 28 chapters at that point in my life in ministry. But I did preach the Sermon on the Mount, and I forget how long
I gave.
I think it was about 3 months, and the folks loved it. You know, of course, these are the words of Christ, and everyone has at least a little bit of familiarity with the Sermon on the Mount, and folks just love going through that for 10 or 12 weeks. And so that's one way you can tackle it. Even if you're not ready for 28 chapters, you can perhaps tackle 3 chapters.
That's right. You could kind of dip in and dip out and do other series around it. That's one way to do it. And so, yeah, it's either you're right. 28 chapters. It's a lot to do. So either you're going to be there a long time, or you need to pick larger chunks, or you kind of do what you said. You dip in and then dip out and kind of look at it. The other thing I'd say with what should you be aware of before preaching Matthew is, this relates to my book, just the use of the Old Testament. Really, that whole book is encouraging people to read these stories with the Old Testament in mind. So read these stories with the echoes of the Old Testament. Don't divorce it from the previous story, because really what Matthew is showing is Jesus is continuing this story. And so everything that Jesus does, from going into the water and then going into the wilderness, that's like a new Exodus imagery. And then going up on the mountain, obviously, like the new Moses, his face is transfigured on top of the mountain. And that's exactly like Moses again. So you have all these echoes. And so my encouragement for preachers is to just pay attention to those, so that like a text like the temptation of Jesus doesn't just become about how do you fight spiritual warfare, but rather Jesus has conquered where Israel and Adam failed. And you just kind of get a bigger sense of what God is doing.
So we've kind of drifted into my next question, but let me tee you up in the event you can elaborate for us. Identify some of the macro themes of the Gospel of Matthew.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the main themes I like to point out is the theme of fulfillment. So he uses this word, this Greek word, plerao, fulfill, a bunch of times, more than any other gospel writer. And basically that might not sound like a great title for your sermon series. But the idea is that God is faithful to his promises to his people. I remember I actually went to a church and they were going to preach through Matthew, and we were talking through what are some major themes. And I said, well, fulfillment is really one of the major themes. And they said, well, that, how does that connect with our people? And I just told them, look, we know that God is faithful to his people because Jesus has come to fulfill all of these promises that he made to his people in the Old Testament. And I think their lights went on then because they realized, yeah, what you're going to be preaching from Matthew is that God is faithful and he's going to be faithful to you. If he's made promises to his people in the Old Testament and kept them in Christ, then he will also keep promises to you. And so that's one of the major themes. Another way you could look at it is just Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Messiah. You could just put on Kanye West's new album, you know, and listen right. to that.
While at Chick-fil-A.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, but it is true that it begins describing Jesus as the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's the new King that's on the scene. And so recognizing his kingship, he's inaugurating the kingdom. And so that's his message, the message of the kingdom. And so if you look at it through the lens of kingship, that's another great way to do it. You could look at it through, like I mentioned this before, you could also look at it through this idea of discipleship or what it means to be an apprentice or to tutor under Jesus. Because this gospel was used, is consistently used as what does it mean to follow Jesus? Jesus is identified in this gospel as a teacher consistently. So you have more discourses in terms of his teaching and his preaching. And so that could be one of your emphases. I mean, there are so many themes that we could go through. Emmanuel, God with us. It starts and ends with God with us. This is Jesus, Emmanuel. And then it ends, I will be with you always to the end of the ages. And so you've got all those different themes that are rotating. Really, it centers on the identity of Jesus and how this fulfills the Old Testament promises.
So we've talked about themes. What difficulties ought interpreters be aware of?
Yeah. The difficulties, some of these we've already kind of hit on, but the difficulties is that it's long, as you already noted, 28 chapters. And so you're going to want to think about how you divide up this text. Again, noting the structure is important. There's a few different ways you can think about the structure. You can look at it geographically. And so chapters 1 through 3 are kind of an introduction. 4 through 20, he's in Galilee. 21 through 28, he's in Jerusalem. You could look at it more in terms of a plot. So Jesus proclaims the kingdom in like 4 through 16, and then he goes to his passion and resurrection in 16, 28. Or you could look at it through that lens of narrative and discourse. I really like that narrative discourse because it gives you a little bit smaller chunks to work with. And so just recognizing that Matthew is really placing everything in his gospel in a different spot for a purpose. And so he wants us, the prime example is the genealogy. Why begin with the genealogy? Well, the genealogy is so important because Genesis is also structured by genealogies, and the last book of the Hebrew or Old Testament ordering, Second Chronicles, also begins, First Chronicles actually begins with genealogies. And so he places the genealogy at the very beginning to let you know this is completing that seed theme. So I think the difficulties are that it's long, but some help comes in recognizing that precise structure. The other difficulties I think that arise for many people is just preaching narratives. You know, sometimes narratives are harder to preach in some sense because I tend to think we like to just think of principles. These are the principles that come from a text. But trying to preach the storyline of what Jesus is doing in the gospel, it's both a challenge, but I think it's a great challenge to have. There's more narrative in the Bible than any other genre. And so I always encourage students, as we're talking about preaching, try to preach narrative in a narrative way. Tell them stories, tell it in a story form if you can, because this isn't a tight discourse like a Pauline epistle, but rather this is a narrative. And so pay attention to the narrative flow. One of the things my teacher taught me is sometimes when we look at narratives, we kind of go to the whatever strikes you. So you just read a text and you're like, well, that part is interesting. But you want to pay attention to the introduction of a story and the climax of the story. And hopefully in your preaching, you're going to be bringing kind of the climax where the narrative is bringing the climax. You don't want to miss what Matthew is trying to communicate to you through even the smaller narratives. And so things can stick out to us, and that's fine. But I think just recognizing there's usually a tension that develops in each story, and that tension needs a resolution. That should somewhat be the structure of your sermons as you go through these things. So there's a lot of different things I could talk about with difficulties. We already mentioned the Sermon on the Mount, the apocalyptic discourse. That can be difficult as well to preach through. But yeah, those are some of the things I'd mention.
You know, Patrick, our time is flying by here. So let me just try to pull this together, maybe with a final question. Do any other commentaries come to mind or resources that our listeners should be aware of when they begin to look at preaching the gospel of Matthew?
Yeah. So the one I always point people to that they maybe people don't always know about is Frederick Dale Bruner's 2-volume commentary on Matthew is just a treasure trove of not only exegetical insights, but you can tell that he preached through or taught through Matthew in a church setting. So not only is he exegetically precise, but he's got that flair of he knew how to communicate it. And so I would just encourage preachers to pick up Frederick Dale Bruner's, it's with Erdmann's, his commentary, it's a 2-volume thing. But man, there are just so many great insights. I think the story is that he actually taught Matthew as a Sunday school class in church and wrote a commentary while he was doing that. And so, I mean, you guys exist, your tagline is for the church. You can just tell he wrote this for people in the church in one sense, but he's also got that kind of scholarly background to back it up. And so that is a great resource, Frederick Dale Bruner. The other short volume I'd want to point people to is Reading Matthew, a Literary and Theological Commentary by David Garland. Mm-hmm. That book's like 150 pages, and it's a great just kind of narrative overview and theological overview of Matthew.
And finally, coming back to where we began the conversation, your book out with Baker Publishers, Matthew, Disciple and Scribe, the First Gospel and Its Portrait of Jesus. Patrick, thank you so much for joining me on Preaching and Preachers and for talking through the Gospel of Matthew with me. And may the Lord bless you in your ministry and your family. And may he give this book, Matthew, Disciple and Scribe, may it give it a wide readership and may it be used to serve the church for many years to come.
Thanks, Dr. Allen. It's been great to be here.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.